Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot, and joined here as we are by Jane Paul once a month from early on, of course, in Crow. Jane, welcome to Lake 88.
Hey Bob, it's so nice to be back again.
It's nice to have you here. We're sort of like the chatting sickies today. I'm under the weather, and you have been as well, but we're isolated in our own homes. And anyway, we just wanted to have this chat. Yes, there's some very important things that you want to cover today.
Yeah, I just want to talk about we've been doing a little bit of training with different people, some for our own staff and some for some caregivers. And I just want to start the whole thing with a huge shout out to the caregivers that are looking after our kids. I mean, these folks have been through everything. COVID hasn't gone away. We're managing it and we're dealing with things a lot better and we know a lot more about it. But these guys have been navigating the shifting landscape this whole time. And now with the new $10 Canada-wide childcare starting to come into play, in its little bits and pieces. Everything changes, right? All the different rules and expectations and everything. They've just had so much to deal with. And sometimes we forget that their focus still has to be on the kids, and they're doing that amazingly well. So on the weekend, I did some training with some of the caregivers that work for Crow. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. We talked about feelings and we talked about stories and just how all that comes to play. But it just brought to the forefront how amazing, caring, and capable all these caregivers are that are out there dealing with our kids.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree 100% because we have a toddler at home here, and dealing with one is pretty rough, and some of them are dealing with four or five or six. So yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And you're right, they are going through this. I don't want to call it a tumultuous time, but it's certainly a time of change when it comes to the implementation of the new daycare strategy and as far as the payment goes, and then still dealing with COVID and all that. Yeah, hats off to them. They have been incredible over the past couple of years, and even, I mean, well before that, because of all that they do, for sure. So you wanted to talk about some feelings today and behaviors, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure. So it's one of the sort of core principles in dealing, I'm going to say in dealing with kids, but it's really in dealing with humans and people and animals as well. We have horses and dogs and cats here. Looking at how feelings dictate the behaviors that we have. So it's looking for the underlying causes for all of those feelings that are there and how that changes. So when we were, I guess it's really appropriate at this time of year too, because a lot of families are dealing with their new kindergarten kids. So a lot of our four-year-olds that have gone into kindergarten that are just exhausted right now. The honeymoon is over. There are so many expectations. They're supposed to know the new rules now. They're playing with the other kids in their class. Constantly, they come home exhausted physically from that and exhausted emotionally and psychologically from just all the different social things they're supposed to be keeping track of. And so, we're going to link some of what we're talking back to that because this time of year, in another month or another 6 weeks, those kids will have built up more stamina and things will change again. But right now, it's a tough time for many, many families.
Is it, I mean, you mentioned the honeymoon's over type thing, and for most kids going to school for the first time or even in their second year of kindergarten, it's fun. It's a different thing. Hey, I'm going to this place, just like they're going to the train museum or something like that. But now they're going back day after day. Is that a big factor in it?
Absolutely, right? There isn't that same expectation of something new and something different happening all the time. They know what's going on. I mean, it's still fun. They're still enjoying it, but they're tired. They're physically tired. And we have to ask that question, what are the behaviors that you're going to exhibit when you're feeling physically tired, when you're feeling emotionally tired, when you're psychologically exhausted? It's going to come out in our behaviors. And that's what we're talking about today. So I have a story for you.
Okay.
When we talked on the weekend with our caregivers, we were learning through our stories, and that's a big part of many, many cultures in the world, including ours. So one of the stories we told was about a lady who has sitting in a bus station waiting for her bus, and she's eating cookies out of a bag, and she's taking one, and the person next to her reaches into her bag of cookies and takes one. And it's like, hey, hang on, what are you doing here? You know? And all the feelings she went through. The end of the story has quite the twist where she finds out that person wasn't actually eating her cookies. She was actually eating their cookies. And just that little change in the story switched all her feelings, right? She went from being angry and upset with this other person to all of a sudden being embarrassed and upset with herself. And how that reflected in her, in the behaviors that she had. So we're going to do this with you, if you don't mind. Can you be my guinea pig today?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I have a story for you. Pretend that you are on a ship, and this is actually from a program we do called Positive Discipline and Everyday Parenting. And you can find it online. If you want to know more about it, give me a shout at the end of the broadcast or send me a message. People, and I will give you the link because you can do it online. But you are on a ship, and the ship is in rough seas and ends up crashing into a rock as it's trying to come into port. And everybody else on the ship dies except for you. You are the lone survivor, Bob. You wash up on shore, your leg is broken, you're battered by the waves, just life is not good. You notice that there are people on the island, so you call out to them, you know, help, help. I need some help here. Please come and help me. And these giants, because you were on a land of giants, come over, kind of take a look at you, and then walk away. They talk to each other. You can't understand what they're saying. You don't know the language, and you're in pain, and you're cold, and you're wet, and you need their help, and they just keep walking by. So I want you to think for a moment about how you feel right now. Can you name a few of the feelings you're going through?
Frustrated, sad, desperate, annoyed.
Okay, so when you're feeling that way, and I just know that we have a time constraint here, when
Because I
you're
could go
feeling
on.
that you could, very much like being a parent, right? So when you're having those feelings, what kind of behaviors are you going to do? What kind of stuff are you doing while you're lying there on the shore?
Oh, you may lash out, you may scream, you may yell, like trying to get their attention, get them to focus on you instead of talking to one another and ignoring you.
And ignoring is a big part of that, right? I mean, you need their help, and they're just totally ignoring you and walking away. Now, one giant comes along and scoops you up in their arms and takes you to their home, wraps you in a nice warm blanket, gets rid of your wet clothes and gives you something else to put on, gives you some warm food, some nice warm broth, cup of hot chocolate to warm up your body a bit. Murmurs to you in their language. You still can't understand what they're saying, but they're murmuring in a gentle way, trying to comfort you. You're safe, you're secure, you're in the house. How do you feel now?
Well, much better. Feel more optimistic, happy, hopeful.
So when you have those kinds of feelings, are you still screaming and lashing out and yelling and fighting for help?
Well, only if one of those other idiots walks past the door, then maybe, but no, not in general.
Right. So you're feeling much more safe and secure, and then your behaviors reflect that. So that's a story that is basically the life of an infant, right? They're tiny. They live in a land of giants. They can't understand what we're telling them. They're dependent on us for comfort and everything, right? For food, for warmth, just for absolutely everything. So we need to remember that when we're dealing with kids, how they feel at the moment is going to come out in their behaviors. So if we can do things that help them have different feelings, then they're going to have different behaviors. So when you mentioned you have a toddler at home, when we have a toddler who's tired and hungry and upset and they're screaming and they're lashing out and they've had enough, if we come in and just lay down the law and isolate them and put them in timeout, you know, is it going to change those feelings, or is it just going to sort of escalate those feelings?
Well, it'd probably escalate them.
Right. So if we can do things differently, if we can come in with some empathy and some comfort, some kindness and caring, and we're still going to have boundaries. I mean, there's still things you're allowed to do and not allowed to do. But if we can come in with a different attitude and help them feel safe and secure, you're going to be all right. I know you're upset. Lots of empathy, talking about their feelings, talking about where they're at, helping to guide them by telling them what we need them to do right now, right? We need you to use your words, not your hands. You need to tell me what's going on so I can help. And if we can work together, then a lot of those behaviors that were there for self-protection when they were scared and afraid and frustrated, just like you lying on the beach, those are going to disappear because they don't need them anymore. You're already there. You're giving us comfort. You're helping out. So that's the sort of stuff that we were looking at. It's a very different attitude than, you know, when I was brought up, where we were just told to be quiet, kids should be, you know, seen and not heard, or not seen and not heard at the same time, and that we had to deal with our own problems until we could manage ourselves. We know much better now, and this is a better way. So I'm going to flip this just very quickly here. We did some staff training with a lot of staff in the county. And we went out to hear two doctors, Dr. Hopi Martin and Dr. Diane Cashin, who talked to us about some Aboriginal culture. And in that culture, the stories are spoken stories. They're not written down, but they were helping to teach us, with the land as the first teacher, some of the stories that are passed down in their culture, to help us find a different way to learn about the world and to experience the world and to help teach that to kids and families. And it's there we are again with those stories coming in to help us learn what we need to learn in the world and to experience it. And in their culture, of course, stories that were passed down from great grandfathers and great grandmothers to grandparents, you know, to parents, to us, all of those things. And there's such power, they were able to get across to us that there's such power in the sharing of stories. You know, it makes the storyteller important. It includes them, it gives them a sense of belonging. And there's an excitement and a freedom in the telling of the story when we are the tellers. And such an acceptance in our clan, because we're social people, to be able to do that and share parts of ourselves and our stories with others. It's also a very non-threatening way to do problem solving because it's a story, right? It's not focused on me. It's not focused on you. We're not blaming anybody. We're telling a story. And so I think these are a big, big part of what we need to do when we're working with families, with kids, and with parents, because our wonderful caregivers not only focus on the kids in their care, they focus on those families as well. They're dealing with parents at the two tough times of the day. First thing in the morning when you're trying to get everything going, last thing at night when you're picking up kids and they're tired and we're transitioning, all of those things that are going on. So remember that these stories are a good way to break into things and to help things. And when the kids come to us with their stories, we need to stop and we need to listen. We need to make them the important storytellers because they're sharing what's going on in their world with us.
That's pretty cool. I think that that is, I mean, it's awesome because you've mentioned the word empathy in there quite a bit, and getting them to understand and see how certain characters in a story, whether it be, you know, a true story or a fable or whatever is being told to them, getting them to understand how those characters are feeling is vital, because then they can recognize that and they can see how to react to that.
It's huge. And I mean, I'm one of those visual people. So the stories I love are the picture books. I still love young children's picture books, right? Because it gives me more input. When you say the word horse to me, I don't just hear horse, I see a horse in front of me out in the paddock, a little bit of dust coming up from their heels. So for me, that visual part is hugely important. So for adults in the kids' worlds, to sit down with them with storybooks, and tell the stories and have the kids comment and talk about the things that are going on there. That is absolutely one of the ways that we help instill empathy in their world. And it's a huge part of when we deal with other people, when we can show empathy and acknowledge how they're feeling, then we free them up to be able to look at those feelings, to be able to feel heard, to feel safe. And then those behaviors now reflect that. And again, all those behaviors for self-protection, they disappear because they're not needed. So we're back into a space where we can use all of our brain and all of our body to help figure out where we go forward from.
Even children's programming that's out there now, and I mean, we all limit screen time and so on, but it does happen. Even the shows like Paw Patrol and Peppa Pig and PJ Masks and Chip and Potato and these shows that are out there, like I watch them and see that there's always a lesson in there. There's always kindness, there's always empathy. And there's always understanding that is within these things. The kids love them, and they love the toys, and they get to create their own stories afterwards with these toys. But that's really, really changed from even like when we were kids. I mean, you look at Tom and Jerry. That's the exact opposite of empathy and sympathy, but at the time it was funny and it was fun to watch and so on. But it just seems like all around this different approach is being taken, and it starts right at home.
It does very much. I mean, Wile E. Coyote
Yeah.
dropping that anvil on the poor road runner, right? Who was always seemed to survive, though.
Well,
You
he
know,
always
and
got
I
out of the way. He always got out of the
think
way.
well, and I think you hit a keen point. I think fantasy plays a big part because until kids are 7 or 8, they can't hold two opposing ideas in their brain. You can't be a good kid and be doing bad things like writing on the wall. So sometimes their stories will come across as a little bit of fantasy because it's the way their brain is working and making sense of the world. It's okay if the, you know, if we know the story isn't totally true in there, it's still going to help them figure out their feelings, figure out what they're supposed to be doing, you know, what's a good thing, what's a bad thing, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So don't worry if the stories are a little bit on the fantasy side.
All right. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention before we let you go, Jane?
Just, you know, remember that we need to be curious, we need to be comforting and understanding, and we need to help kids get in touch with those feelings by naming them and pointing them out, you know, when we're at the grocery store, when we're reading books, when we're talking about their behaviors, so that this becomes their first language. And to that point, we've got some workshops coming up, of course. We have a family math workshop, which is almost full. But if we get enough interest, we'll do a second one where we explore math and the world around us because math is all around us. And we have a lot of fun. We bring those feelings back into it because we learn better when our feelings are on the positive side. When learning is attached to those feelings, we learn lots more. So we've got 2 nights of that coming up. We've got Kids Have Stress Too is going to come back again. We had to reschedule that one. And we've got some other ones coming up. So just check out our websites and our Facebook pages. Our website is crowlanark.com, and our websites is the name of the area you're in and early on playgroups. And you'll find all these posters coming up. And you can always message me on my Facebook page at Crow Parent Education.
That's excellent. Well, Jane, I want to thank you very much for this today and every month that you join us. It's always a pleasure to have you here. Certainly eye-opening. And I got to tell you, you're a great storyteller. So we really appreciate
Thanks.
it.
Well, and thanks for all your election coverage. Get out there and vote, people. This is your chance to, you know, have your stories told out there by the people you elect. So.
Absolutely. I appreciate that very much. We're going to be on the air tonight with our election coverage. I'm going to drink all sorts of tea between now and then so I can get on with Brian there and do our thing. But I appreciate you mentioning that. And again, we just appreciate all that you do here at Lake 88 and for the kids in our region.
Well, thanks for letting us be a part of In Focus because In Focus allows people to tell their stories. It's a huge, huge community builder when you allow other people to come in and get their stories out on the air and shared with others.
Well, we're going to leave on a high note. because I mean, hey, you're talking about how good we are. So I'm not going to argue with you there. Jane, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next month. We'll talk to you in a few weeks.
All right, take care.
Jane Paul from Early On in Crow, our guest today. We've been talking about the importance of stories in early childhood education. I'm Bob Perot. Thanks so much for listening. And yes, remember tonight, coming up at 7 o'clock, we've got our local municipal election coverage. You don't want to miss it. It's right here live on Lake 88. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.